That has nothing to do with tonight. So this then is the last session of the season before we break for summer. Last one. And then it's summer break. So this year, we have looked specifically at aspects of husbandry and fatherhood. We aimed our teaching specifically and deliberately in those areas. And even if you are not married or you are childless, either the kids are grown and are gone, or you don't have children at all, the things that we talk about here are stuff that we all need to know about for at least three reasons. Well, four. One, obviously, is if you are in this season of life, it pertains to you. Second, in case you ever become a husband or a father, then these sessions are going to be very important to know. Third, it helps us understand our brothers who are in those situations, so we can come alongside, bear one another's burdens, offer good counsel, encourage one another. It's important. And fourth, it helps us understand God better. Marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. So marriage isn't just about you and your wife. It's about Christ and the church. And moreover, God has revealed himself as our Father. So these things are massively important as we strive to understand God. He has revealed himself in a powerful way through the institution of marriage and children. So we want to deepen our understanding of God, and knowing this stuff is a good step in that direction. The word points us towards marriage and family, and that is a way that we can understand God better as we seek to pattern our families after the word of God. So this matters for all of us. So we did a number of sessions on marriage, and now we're coming to the end of a number of sessions on children. We looked at what sons are for, and then we looked at what daughters are for. And tonight we're going to look a bit at how to discipline children. The Bible tells us that we are to discipline our kids for their good. And if you have kids, you know that can be pretty difficult to do. That can be hard. It takes a lot of work. And sometimes the reward, the payoff of that work can seem a long ways away. And yet we're called to do it. God disciplines us, which we find unpleasant. Hebrews 12:1, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we need to do it. The Bible says it does bring about good fruit. It's good. And many a father who has been too tired, or perhaps too afraid, too cowardly to discipline his children, many a father has been brought to grief because of the rebellion of their child. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and a bitterness to her who bore him. Well, the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So children need discipline. And of course, they don't like it any more than we do. It is unpleasant, but they need it just the same. And if you love your children, you will discipline them. But since that is hard, many a father stumbles and struggles in this area. There are a lot of questions. But we need to get at it. We need to learn how to do it. And we need to start when they're young. If you don't do it when they are young, you're going to have a much harder time later on. Having undisciplined children leads to having undisciplined teenagers. And suddenly the consequences of sin aren't so small anymore. Got this from Brother Jacob. Kleiner Kinder, kleine Sorgen, große Kinder, große Sorgen. Small kids, small problems. Big kids, big problems. They're not just having a little temper tantrum. Suddenly, they have given themselves to things like my cousins did. So we find ourselves sometimes in our lack of discipline in the younger years with a whole world of trouble later on, and we have to actually clamp down on the teenager. But by then, the lack of discipline is bearing the bad fruit of rebellion. Right at the point where those teenagers should be entrusted with more responsibility, you find you got to cut them off, which is incredibly frustrating because God has built them to desire adulthood, for our sons desire manhood, more responsibility, and because of the lack of discipline, you can't give it to them, which is a great frustration for those young men. Right when they should be embracing their faith as their own, they are actually questioning it. So we need to start young, when it's relatively simple and straightforward, and build that discipline into their lives so that when they are teens and getting older, they have the tools necessary to step out in righteousness, learn to be adults, they can take on responsibility, they can start to stand in their generation. You don't have to force them or bribe them to come to church. They love it here. Discipline from young on is needed, and we want to do it well. So just a few verses from Proverbs to see some of the language the Bible uses with discipline. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Strong words from Proverbs. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Wow. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So discipline then is not an option, it's mandatory. And tonight I'm going to give you 6 guidelines to use in your discipline process in training your children. Some reminders, principles of how to walk through the process, and more, they are reminders of how God treats us. We pattern our discipline after his discipline of us. So whether you have kids or not, this pertains, because we want to see the fatherly hand of God in our own lives as he disciplines us. And as we see how he does that, we actually have content in how we discipline our children and how we receive the discipline of the Father in our life, which is precious to us. So we'll give you 6. Clarity. Your children, as well as yourself, need to know where the lines are. What is a disciplinable offense and what is not? You have to let them know. You and your wife need to be on the same page. If the discipline just comes out of nowhere, because you're annoyed in the moment, as far as the child can see, it's not going to help. It's going to breed resentment in them. How can I avoid doing what's wrong if I don't know what wrong is? And many times an angry dad falls into this trap. He's just annoyed. I'm annoyed and I'm going to take it out on my kids. And I will discipline in anger. And the child has no idea what's going on. That's going to exasperate our children, which the Bible says not to do. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, Ephesians 6. It provokes them, and so we need clarity. Imagine if we had no idea what sin was. God didn't tell us. We didn't have anything in his word. God kept it secret, and then he just kept showing up out of the blue and putting us under discipline. And we'd be like, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's happening. God doesn't punish or discipline us randomly. He has given us his word. We have clarity. We know what sin is. We know where the lines are. And your kids should know as well. We need clarity. Let them know what a disciplinable offense is, what the goal is. Because if you don't know the lines, neither will they. And confusion is going to reign in your home. And your discipline is going to be random, ineffective, detrimental. God gives us clarity as to where the lines are. And we ought to do the same with our children. It really matters that we have clarity. We're so thankful that as God has given us clarity. We always talk about a people of the word. We want to be a people of the word. What does the word say? We're so thankful that God has given that to us so we know what's going on. Our kids need that from us as well. Consequences. The second guideline is that the punishment has to be painful. It's got to hurt in some way. Remember, we just read it. It says that all discipline is unpleasant. It has to be unpleasant. It has to be unpleasant. In order for discipline to be effective, you can think of it this way, it has to produce a more negative effect than how much that sin felt good. It has to hurt. God sends discipline to get our attention, and if it doesn't sting, we don't take notice. We need to feel those negative consequences keenly. Children should never shrug off discipline or laugh at it. And I remember, as a boy, causing trouble in the home, and dad's off at work, mom's had enough, right? And I'm going to get a spanking. And there's Mama Bear trying her best to spank a strapping young lad, and I kind of found it funny because it didn't hurt at all, right? And laughing is a bad idea when you're getting it, because mom knows. And so she stopped. She goes, okay, I'll let your dad take care of it when he gets home. And you've never seen a more repentant little boy pleading, because I knew that's going to hurt. Mom wasn't hurting at all, but now dad's coming, and that's going to hurt. And suddenly I started to take the situation more seriously. What was funny, right? I caused some trouble. Mom's trying to punish me. Ha ha. All of a sudden became awfully serious. I started changing the way I thought. It's supposed to be unpleasant. It's supposed to hurt in some way. Now, of course, we have to keep in mind that it needs to be kept in proportion. Dads who struggle with anger or disciplining in anger have a way of blowing things out of proportion, having a punishment being way too much, potential of abuse and all of that. So dads, you have to remember, you're the adult. You have to have self-control. Do not punish out of anger. I'm going to talk more about that in a bit. But be measured and be deliberate. Know your children and remember that you're not just trying to get them to do what you want. You're not just trying to force them. You're trying to help them reach the goal of maturity in adulthood. Knowing how to have self-control, how to take responsibility. You are trying to lead them to Christ, and you need to know that your anger is never going to do that. Man's anger cannot do it. And if you discipline out of your anger, you will not lead them to the Lord. Can't be done. Man's anger is destructive. Consistency. This one's a big one. It's so important. Once a disciplinable offense has been established, we need to be consistent in holding that line. So how many times have you seen it? The child is misbehaving, and the parent says, I'm going to count to three. One. Better stop now. I mean it. Two. It's getting serious. Three. Don't let me do this. Forget it. He doesn't listen anyway. And the child knows exactly what's going on. He knows where the line is, or if there even is one. That type of thing is worse than useless. You're teaching them not to obey, that the lines don't matter, that you're not going to hold it, you're not going to be a man of your word, you're going to threaten but not follow through. That is detrimental, not just empty, but actually damaging. So we want to be consistent. The child learns very quickly if you mean it or not. You're not fooling them. They know right away. So we want to remind them of what the offenses are. We want to be consistent. If it's sometimes a disciplinable offense and sometimes not, you're making it worse. And much more so if one sibling is under discipline and the next time it happens with the other, but you're too tired and you let it go, you can bet they notice. Dads, you're always on. You're always on. Consistency is so important. Parenting's a tough job, and that's all there is to it. We want to be consistent. Otherwise, the kid loses his way. So I remember when I was young, probably was five, sitting around the supper table, and mom poured me a little bit of milk in the cup. And it was a plastic cup. I didn't know how much milk was in there, and I wanted to know. And so I sat up in my chair trying to see, how full is the cup? And my dad lost it. And boy, did I get it that night. Now, do I remember that story because I learned a valuable lesson? No, I remember it because it didn't make any sense at all. And to this day, I still have no idea what set him off. So what did I learn? I learned the randomness of discipline. He's not trustworthy. I have no idea when he's going to lash out, and I have no idea when he's going to be nice. It was inconsistent, and there was no clarity. I wanted to know how much milk I had, and somehow that set him off. I was 5. Decades and decades later, I still remember how confused I was. I had no idea what I had done wrong. Nothing. Consistency matters. Keeping with our C's here. Dads, we need to cultivate holiness. God is holy, and he disciplines out of his holiness, and we are called to cultivate that as well. And this is what I was saying, hinting at a little bit before. We need to cultivate holiness in our life, our own self-control, our righteous living, so that we do not discipline out of anger or frustration. Your growth in personal holiness is a must. We don't discipline in anger. How are you going to teach your children self-control if you don't have it? So, I grew up with a bit of a rough childhood. My dad was abusive in many ways. We made things right. He made it right with me before he died. And I love him, and I miss him, and I respect him. But it was rough going up. It really was. And we were challenged a lot. And there was a lot of anger in the home. And I had no idea most of the time what was going to set him off and what wasn't. I had no idea what the rules were. I knew to stay out of arm's reach. He didn't know the way. And so I didn't learn it. And after Marcel and I were dating, before we got married, I remember thinking, that's how you discipline children. It's going to be really hard for me to hit my kids like my dad hit me. But that's what I got to do because that's what dads do. I got to be like him because I didn't know. That's what I had been trained in. And then I met Marcella's dad, who was the polar opposite from mine. I was like, what in the world? I didn't know such a person existed in this world. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought all fathers did this to their children. And I had every intention of being that way. Marcella had no idea. Why would I bring it up? This is what dads do. I thought she knew. And I didn't know because that was my environment. That's what dads do. So we need, men, we need to cultivate holiness in our life. If you don't have it, neither will your children. It's the Spirit of God that changes hearts, and he has revealed his means of doing that. I just want to say, I think I've mentioned this before, I just hinted at it now. I've often used my dad as a poor example with a lot of things in life, and it was rough, that's true. But just a few months, 2 months or so before he died, he came to me. I was 17. And he made it right. And he admitted, confessed sin in his life. And he made it right with each one of us. He went to all the kids, my siblings, and to me. And that took a lot of guts. And I honor that. And I honor him. And we had an awesome couple of months before he passed away. So I use him sometimes as an example, but I don't mean to run him down. I love him, and I miss him. But that is what it is. It's the Spirit that changes hearts, and he has revealed how he does that. This faithful teaching, this faithful discipline, this training of a father is the major means of the sanctification of children, and that sanctification starts with you. You need to walk in holiness before the Lord, knowing him. If you're going to teach your children to walk in holiness and teach them the things of God, know the goal. You're not the judge, but you are the leader, one who is leading them somewhere. They will follow you. They will follow you. I did. In many ways, each one of you here, if you had a dad in your life, followed him. You have a massive impact on children. So too many times the goal is simply to get the child to be quiet or to stop causing trouble, stop making dad angry. But the goal should be to train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to see them mature and grow. That's what you want. In order for them to come to know the Lord, you have to know the Lord as well. So we know that God is watching us. He's holding us accountable for how we train our children. Your life with the Lord must be a priority. Fathers, we must not be hypocritical when training our children. As God is holy, so we are to be holy. And this keeps rolling from that. Again, we see how the Father disciplines us, his children, in all of those things. And we are to pattern our lives, our training of our children, after what God does for us. So we cultivate love. Cultivate love. Discipline is not just the correction or punishment. Discipline is to be done in love. And more, your children need to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that dad loves them. They need to know that you love them, not just in theory, but in real. They should know it in their heart and be utterly convinced that their dad loves them. And that's an excellent question to ask yourself. Are your children convinced? Do they know? You might think that they do, but consider it. Are your children convinced? Do they know? And if they don't know, you have work to do. They must know that their Father loves them. God proves his love for us on the cross, right? In Christ on the cross, he has shown us the depth of his love. And then he tells us, look to that. Keep looking to the cross for assurance of his love. He who gave us his own son, will he not give us all things? Yes. Look, God says, look at my love for you. Be convinced, be utterly convinced. Can anything separate us from the love of the Father? No, nothing. God says, in Christ, I love you. We are to be utterly convinced of the Father's love for us beyond a shadow of a doubt, so that when the hard times come, when those consequences come, we're not rattled. Does God love me? Does he love me? It's like, no, back to the cross. Man, he does. He is my good Father. He is my good shepherd. These consequences are for my good. And we should not be questioning his love. And when we do, we go back to the scriptures and we see his love for us through Christ on the cross. And our kids need to have that anchored in their hearts and their souls as well. Dad loves me, even though I might be under discipline and the consequences are painful. Then they no longer have to be so afraid. They know that their dad is with them and he loves them. We need to cultivate that love for our children and make sure that they know it. God goes out of his way to show his love for us. And he disciplines us then out of that love. And that's what we are to do. So discipline is painful. And if the child isn't convinced that you love them, they're going to fear you. They're going to be afraid. They won't be learning the lesson you want them to learn because they will be cowering. They will fear the discipline. And instead of growing in righteousness and maturity, they grow in fear, resentment, anger, whatever it is. We need to cultivate our love for our children. We need to make sure that they know it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, do your children know? A father is not just the judge, jury, and executioner of discipline who lays down the law. We are to love our kids. So we want to think about the tone of our home. We want the tone of our home to be a joy and not a misery. The children should be excited to see you when you come home after work and not afraid. If you are just the strict disciplinarian, they won't have joy in your presence. They will have fear in your presence. We want to give our kids confidence to feast on, not fear. Are your kids more confident when you're in the room? Or are they afraid? The children need to know their father loves them. There should be an abundance of confidence that we are building into our children. That takes an awful lot of work. It's much easier if I'm upset with what's happened. Just go here, consequences. I can do that and just forget the rest of it and then wonder why my kids don't want to be with me, or they struggle in all these other areas when that's all I have done there. We want to take the whole picture of how God disciplines us, learn all of that, and apply that to our families. Last one. It's a different alliteration, but it's the same letter. Celebration. Celebrate with your children often is a really good thing to remember. Our discipline of our children should include the discipline or the practice of joy. That too is a discipline. Our children need to be trained in joy, trained how to celebrate, trained how to be thankful, even in the hard times. We're told to be thankful in all circumstances. Well, that's hard. That doesn't come naturally. I need to learn how to do that, and then I need to teach my children to be thankful in their trials as well. So we got to learn that. Do we know how? Do we know how to celebrate? Specifically, do you know how to take a day of rest and actually rest and rejoice before the Lord? Can you, the children see you be confident before your Heavenly Father and rejoice and be at peace, knowing that He loves you, He has promised to provide for you? Or is it all stress and worry and panic and grumble and complain and this and that and the other? What do your children see? Do they see a trust in the Heavenly Father? Or do they see an anxious reliance on self, which leads to worry? So we need to teach our children how to rest before the Lord, to celebrate. Shocking verse, Deuteronomy 28:47. God says to Israel that since you did not serve me with joy, therefore you will serve your enemies. What a phrase. Not just because you didn't serve me, you're going to serve your enemies. He goes, no, because you didn't serve me with joy, you're going to serve your enemies. You want to complain? I'll give you something to complain about. Right? There we see the Lord using that same type of a phrase. You did not serve me with joy. All right. You've chosen misery. I'm not the source of your misery. I'll give you something then to be miserable about. So God intends for us to be joyful. That joy, that celebration is a spiritual discipline. And we need to learn how to do it. Teach your children how to celebrate before the Lord. They should know your laughter, what it sounds like. That should be the tone of your home. Maybe there's a need in your home for a little more laughter, a little more mess, a little more noise. Limited noise, but kids are loud. But more of that. We're not a military base. We're to be a home where love and freedom can flow. A good thing to remember is that there should probably be more celebration in your home than you think. God calls us to be joyful. And some of us, maybe particular men, struggle with that. It's easier for me to be withdrawn. It's easier for me to give myself to grumpiness. But to celebrate takes a little more effort, perhaps. We all carry our burdens. We are out there fighting the thorns and thistles and the trials of this world. And that can be really hard. And we have to learn how to put it down and rejoice before the Lord and to teach our children the same skill. It is hard to be happy in the middle of a fallen world, but we are called to do it. So we want to teach our children this discipline of celebration. God says, you come before me with praise and thanksgiving. You celebrate. You rest. Have joy. We pattern our discipline after what God has given to us. And He has called us to celebration. We ought to be celebrators as well. So the goal of discipline is not legalism. It's not a forced obedience. Any dad can do that. You're much bigger than your kids. You can force them. You can force them. It's not how it's done. The goal, we have to remember, is that soft heart in our children, a joyful obedience of the children, a love for the Lord and the things of the Lord, a growing maturity and embrace of responsibility. That's what we are called to do. So we have six principles of discipline that we can apply in our parenting of our children. And even as I say these things to you guys, man, I think back to my life, especially the early years with the kids. Boy, I wasn't doing this well. I wasn't doing that well at all. There was a lot of missed opportunities and regrets. The Lord is gracious, He is kind, and He forgives. We pray for our kids and we keep going. Good principles of discipline that we need to apply, things to keep in mind. Now, I just want to end then very briefly on spanking. That is what usually comes to mind when we talk about discipline. Spanking is controversial in our society, but it is not controversial biblically. So I'm not going to try to defend the practice. The Bible is clear on the blessing of it. Done well, it's good. Spank your children. That is good biblical counsel. I won't defend it. But I am going to lay out a bit of a process that might help some of us in how to do it. And that is important. This is an area that can get away from us, especially if we struggle with anger. That we discipline out of anger sometimes. And we have to guard against that. There is an appropriate way to use this form of discipline. It's good. And we want to make sure we're doing it correctly. So this process of corporal punishment. I think I read this from Toby Sumter. I think it came from him. But he had a few principles. So dads, here's something to keep in mind. How to spank your children out of love and not out of anger. And if you follow this process, you're going to find it really hard to spank your kids out of anger. It's going to temper you, and it's going to bring a lot of control into the situation, which is what we need. So, a few principles. Number one, keep it private. Do not take the dignity away from your children. You don't want to overshame them. Take them off to the side. Find a separate room. Protect that. It's important. Two, tell them what they did wrong. Sometimes they don't know. Make sure that they know. And even if you know that they know, tell them anyway. Like, make it abundantly clear. This is what it was. Right here. And even if they know, tell them anyway. So that there's no second guessing, there's no ambiguity. Tell them what they did wrong. Then tell them how many spanks they're going to get. This is going to give you pause, and this is going to keep any anger that you got at bay. Tell them what they're going to get. That's going to make you think. It's a disciplinable offense. There's a spanking coming. What does it mean? When we spank out of anger, men, sometimes there feels to be no limit. You spank until your anger is spent, which is completely wrong. Don't do that. Take a moment. This is going to be 3, 4, 5, whatever it is that you do. Let them know what it's going to be. This is going to make you exercise some thought. It's going to make you calm down a little bit and kind of weigh the situation. And it's going to let them know what to expect. And this will keep them from being scared of your anger and more assured of your love. If it's anger and they have no idea what's coming, they're afraid of your anger. They're not learning the lesson. They're learning that dad is mad. Don't make him mad. That's what I'm learning. Don't make dad mad because this happens. When they should be learning a lesson of righteousness there. So tell them how many they're going to get. That's going to slow you way down. That's going to make you weigh the situation with a lot more justice. And it's going to let them know. After that, you comfort them. Always comfort them afterwards. That means you pray with them. It's hard to stay angry. It's hard to be angry if you know. This is my process. And the offense has happened. We're heading into this type of situation. A spanking is coming. And a few minutes from now, I'm going to pray with my child. Know that in here and in here. It'll cause a good pause and a self-examination. Pray with them. Always, always, always tell them they are forgiven. Let them know. Even if it's assumed, let them know, and then make sure all relationships are restored. If they've lied to mama, well, you got to go make that right now. Make sure all relationships are restored. So keep it private. Tell them what they did wrong. Tell them how many spanks they're going to get. And then comfort them. Pray with them. Tell them they are forgiven. And make sure the relationships are restored. If you have a process like that in place, man, is it going to guard your heart, it's going to guard the child, and there's actually lessons that are being learned instead of the lesson of don't make dad angry, or maybe it's not bad if I don't get caught, I'm not sure if dad loves me, I don't know what's going on, all those types of things. Discipline is so much more than just the consequences. There have to be. And sometimes that leads to spanking. It's good. We ought to. But the child should know what's going on, and they should know that you love them. And then the spanking is going to hurt, and it's supposed to. There should be tears. Absolutely. But when it is done, patterned after God, how God disciplines us, now we have an environment in which the love between the father and the children isn't challenged or questioned, and the lessons really go. And again, I'm not saying this stuff to trying to discourage anybody. Some of you might be thinking, I have not done that. Right? And I think I have not always done that either. We're always learning. We always want to get better. We want to encourage one another and grow in this. And these are important lessons for us. So may we then learn to discipline our children and discipline them well so that we raise up a faithful and strong next generation.